this is Steve Borsch with the Minovate Gang podcast, live from the Minnesota High Tech Association conference. Yes, live.
Downtown Minneapolis.
And I'm sitting here with
Tim Elliott,
Bill Wilson,
Graham Thickens,
and Rick Mon.
All right. How are you guys doing?
Very wonderful.
So, we've been here all day, and what are your thoughts so far, Tim, of this particular conference?
Well, I wish the Wi-Fi was a little bit better, especially in the sessions, which makes it very difficult for live blogging. I prefer to do that on my laptop and not my phone. So that was a kind of a downer.
Yep.
But I think it's an interesting mix of people. It's definitely a different sort of group than we're normally around at some of the other events. It's even though it says high tech in the name, it's not really that high tech. But it seems like, you know, social media is one of the things that people are talking a lot about. Also, I did like the keynote this morning with the Star Tribune chairman, who seemed to really get it. And he actually likes those iPads quite a bit, apparently. So
yeah, I'll say
that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So, Phil, what do you think about the Wi-Fi?
About the Wi-Fi? Well, you know, it's frustrating because, you know, I understand we kind of live in this world of early adopters of, you know, because we're very much plugged into the community, what's going on. So a lot of what we're hearing today and what we're experiencing today is all, I mean, the Wi-Fi thing is very difficult to deal with when you're used to being at conferences with Super Mondo Wi-Fi available. And it just kind of, but it does remind you that, you know, as close as we are to this, it's very easy to be so close to the forest you don't see the trees. I mean, there are a lot of people that really are at square one, what we consider square one, that, that they're catering to. I mean, we heard today and, you know, ooh, I just learned a new word, freemium. You know, it's like
from the president of MHT.
It's like, okay, well, it's been around a bit, but yeah, and I also hearken back to that same sort of feeling I had when we were at MEMA, at the MEMA summit, when we were watching the Domino's Motrin Moms demos. It was like, come on, people, there's lots of things going on since then. But you know, when you're involved in that space every day, you see it. But when you're not, when your job is selling widgets or whatever, you're not paying as much attention. So it is new stuff.
Well, and
the Wi-Fi thing drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have something at a conference that has high tech in the name. You know, it's got a cup and a string, at least. Give me something. But you know, I'm actually trying out we've been playing with that new droid Incredible that Verizon is letting me play with, which is like, you know, going from the Trio to that, it has saved our butt, in my butt anyway, as far as being able to tweet and deal with it.
Well, yeah, I don't think if we didn't have our mobile devices that we could do anything. Because, you know, Graham, you're holding your iPad. I had my iPad. Excuse my throat, by the way. Sorry. But because you just can't get on, so we can't live blog. But how would you, because you're out in the Bay Area all the time and Southern California, you're going to a lot of these conferences, you know, even in Colorado. What is your take on this compared to the other ones you go to?
Well, it's a little backward. having just come from Palo Alto and where I was tweeting the whole event on my iPad, and then getting here and not being able to hook up, it was like, you know, I felt like...
How do you mean hook up?
Hook up to the, you know, to get out there and start tweeting. I felt at a loss, you know, and I couldn't do a whole lot from my iPhone. So it was a bit frustrating. But now that we have this nice MiFi card, this Verizon MiFi card here.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, we've got all the bandwidth we need. But yeah, it's a different kind of event here. You know, it's an older crowd. It's an older generation. A lot of policy wonks, you know, a lot of government relations kind of people.
Read that, suits. A lot of suits.
Yeah, a lot of suits.
Not a lot of
Yeah, a lot of suits. Probably even a fair amount of legislators roaming around in here.
Think so?
Or lobbyists. Oh, yeah, because the organization is kind of tuned to that with all their state, you know, education, and they do good work relating to, you know, science and math education and that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, that's a big part of what they do. They've really not been that tightly tied to the startup community by any stretch of the imagination for many years here. That's changing, though. I think it's getting better. Yeah. And there were some good events. I was quite surprised because I really hadn't looked at the agenda. I'd been a little busy. And I didn't even get here until 10 o'clock this morning. So I missed the whole first set of the whole first breakout session event. But there was a real good startup-oriented session called Lessons Learned on the Entrepreneurial Journey, where Wade Gerton of Alvenda and Steve Van Tassel of Packet Power and the other gentleman from Vast Enterprises, Andy Vanderwood, spoke about what they went through to launch their companies. And were any of you in that besides me? It was really good. Scott Littman from the Minnesota Cup and Magna 360 moderated, and they kind of let it all out about the things they had to go through to, you know, I mean, to live on peanuts while they struggled along. And so, you know, Wade even said he sold his house about 4 months into the process.
Oh.
And he said, you know, they really decided he should have sold his house earlier, probably. So, you know, one of the things I remember most that he said was, starting a company is really hard, you know, and you know, it's awfully easy, I suppose, to get up there and talk now that he's raised $5 million, you know, and probably has 20 or 30 employees now. I don't know what the number's up to, but there were an amazing number of people in there that were asking some good questions. I mean, it was in the big room, and it didn't fill the room, but that would have been, what, 1,000 people, but I bet there were 200-300 people in there, and most of the other sessions were standing room only, too, including Rick's social media. They had to build a grandstand session in the back.
Is that why all those chairs were out?
Yes, that was for the social media session.
That's and so how big was that? How many people showed up?
Well, I think they said they had 150 seats in the room, and then they put probably another 50, 75 out in the hallway. And maybe about a third, half maybe at tops out in the hallway.
Yeah, so. Well, it was pretty cool.
I ran into Rick in the hallway, and he was signing some woman's breast. So
it was a big deal.
How do I explain that one to my wife?
Yeah. Okay. Was that the one that had the Playboy bunny on her
breast? Right.
On the flight coming home from Denver last night, you know.
Hey, Mrs. Mon, did you hear that?
With this really voluptuous-looking girl right in
did
front of me.
Did you say getting it on with a voluptuous
no,
girl?
No,
getting on with.
I
okay,
wish.
Gotcha.
And I turned and looked, and she had a Playboy bunny, like, on her, you know, like in from the suntan booth where you put the little Playboy bunny on. So she had that.
Steve's got one of those.
I need this, you know, at 11 o'clock.
It's gone all sideways on us. So
yeah. No, let's keep talking. No.
No, we have women that listen to this podcast.
Yes, we do.
See, my wife would, she would say, oh, you.
We actually have a woman listener?
I think so.
Oh, we've got plenty.
Who would that
be?
Oh, okay. Yeah. The social media folks,
yeah.
I suppose.
Well, it's funny because last year.
Then I apologize right now.
There you go.
Last year, I was a conversation starter for the social media one, even though they didn't really call it that and they were looking for somebody to come in. Because, Graham, you led one last year too, right?
The cloud computing.
Cloud computing one.
I moderated that panel. That was standing room only. Yeah.
It was a huge
Well, so was the social media. Yeah, last year. The kicker was is that the session name didn't really identify it as a social media one. Yours did. Plus, you with the SMB, you know, and credibility in the space didn't hurt.
No, I think it helped a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So that was – and how did it go? Because we were in another one while Graham covered.
No, definitely. It went really good. We had a lot of great questions from the audience and everything. Sat down with Jason Ells from – Imation and Eric, what was his name?
From Medtronic. Yeah, I didn't know that guy. Is he fairly new or has he been there for a while?
He's been there for a while.
Okay.
Is he a social media guy at Medtronic?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, one thing as we were comparing notes before the panel, we found, you know, again, this is nothing new to us. I mean, everybody's in the same spot. Every organization is trying to find, you know, where, you know, social media fits in. And you know, as we were kind of talking about some of the regulatory issues that Medtronic has, but some of the opportunities as a kind of a technology company that Imation has. So it was neat to compare notes and a little bit talk a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things I heard, what little I could hear from the back row, I was going to start heckling you on Twitter from the back row, but I couldn't hear very well. But I heard the Imation guy say that their CEO, who's about to retire, actually started blogging a while back and actually found it was good and it worked. And so
it was. And what was he blogging about? His quilting hobby or?
Do not maybe know.
Quilting, winemaking.
Yeah.
He was talking about the latest, coolest CD media.
They're over. Yeah. I hear they're making thumb drives too.
Oh, that's right. Thumb drives.
Are they in the shape of a thumb?
Explain that to me again.
Thumb drive?
Explain what thumb. Jeez, yikes. Explain what thumb drives are?
And does that iPad have a CD-ROM drive on it?
It only has 16 gigs of memory. I'm just a little guy here, you know.
You know, believe it or not, the reason
I don't do movies. That's mainly why. I don't give.
I bought the 64 gig only because, believe it or not, Andy Anatko, the guy that writes for Mac user, he used to write for Mac user. He's a Mac guy.
Chicago Sun-Times now.
Yeah, that's right. He was the one on This Week in Tech or Mac Break Weekly or one of the shows who said absolutely positively get the 64 gig. And he said, if you got X number of movies on it and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I've done it now and I still have like 49 gigs free. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I ever going to
do?
Well, you know, one thing I did is started putting all I've got like 10 or 12,000 photos in iPhoto. And I started throwing a bunch of those in here, and I thought, wait a minute, why am I doing this? And
oh, crap. Listen, we've talked about iPads 2 weeks solid. Can we not talk about the iPad?
Oh, everything is about iPads.
Yes, it's wonderful. And Moses brought two of them down from the mountain. Because they didn't have the 64, he had to bring two 32s.
If I'm not doing movies, so I don't need that crap.
So Rick, you've got things going on. What you got? New news? You're leaving Land O'Lakes?
Yeah.
That's
what can you talk about?
Oh well, let's find out.
Okay.
Well, I am venturing out on my own, doing consulting and social media and some educational offerings for business, specifically around social media, corporate uptake, kind of from a corporate perspective, what it is. How to train people, how to get them up to speed.
How do you explain to them it's not free?
It's not free. There is a cost. You do need to plan. It's not, exactly. Things that we all who live in the future, I wanted to comment on that while you were talking about
sure.
You know, and not to sidetrack, but you talked about Wi-Fi earlier and how we take it for granted.
Stop this crazy thing.
But, you know, you stop and think about it. And this was driven home last month when I went to South by Southwest. And we're driving down, and we did a road trip, and I'm going along, and I have this MiFi, and we're blogging and video casting using 3G phones and MiFi, you know, wireless.
In the car?
In the car, 70 miles, I mean 55 miles an hour.
And I don't know, baby.
Maybe. Maybe Kansas. I can't remember. But anyway, you know, it just dawned on me, you know, how far ahead we live in the future that we use this stuff. And, you know, it's fun to be here doing this.
We do live in the future, and this—I mean—the group of five just here. We do live in the future. We have to remind ourselves.
We brought our own Wi-Fi.
And there, we have to constantly remind ourselves, especially. And I think that the folks at the High Tech Association, who are hosting us for this podcast, they have to understand that they are the ones that are going to be responsible for conveying the information. We have to convey that information correctly. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, Rick, that you know that doesn't work, that's not worth its time, and the iPad, of course.
Well, but you know what, though? I mean, to your point, I just had an experience where I'm not going to bring up anyone's name who works for us anyway, and I was walking her through a URL. No.
Okay.
Walking her through a URL, and I said, okay, so it's a secure connection, just like a bank, so you type in https /, and then she did it, and then she said, "Well, it's not working." I said, "Well, what did you write? HTTPF:// I said, no, S for secure. Oh, no, it would be like trying to explain to someone how to use a flush toilet. I mean, from my perspective, right? Mm-hmm. But realizing that there are so many people out there that don't get it. And we run into this every day, swear to God, where we get tech support calls from people and emails because they downloaded the product that they bought, the digital download, because they get to save money on the ebook, and they can't find it.
Oh, good grief.
Right. And it didn't work. Well, on the Mac, it's in their downloads folder. On the PC, who the hell knows?
Yeah.
And then they
still have problems with that, though.
What?
I still have problems with that.
but to your point is that there's a whole class of people out there that really don't even know the basics.
Yeah, exactly. Many of them aren't listening to this podcast.
Probably not.
But there are people that find themselves in that situation of being able to educate them that are listening to this. And you know, those people that listen to this podcast probably they're thinking, yeah, I know all this. But I also want to take this opportunity. We talk a lot about educating business on how to be part of social media. And yet we still have not educated everybody that business is hoping to reach on how to use social media. And we've talked about this in the past, that there are people that you and I hang out with in our neighborhood or at a kid's ball game. Tell me about this Twitter dealy thing. What's that all about? My son's on Facebook. What is that? You know, there are a lot of people I think that we have to educate people on the consumer side. Before the business side even works, the consumers are going to have to get it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, when I talk to businesses and stuff, I really want to make sure that they know they're not behind. They haven't lost yet.
Because they're not too late.
Exactly.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, the opportunity, everybody is in the same spot, pretty much. I mean, you've got a couple of leaders out there, doing things, like Comcast and Dell and Best Buy and so on, where we can point to case studies. But the bread and butter company out there, no pun intended, Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you. All right.
Certainly.
But I'm not sure. Is that a Land O'Lakes reference? Is that what that is? I'm sorry. I always miss the butter jokes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. I was thinking you'd be right on.
Come on. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, it's they're not behind, and the opportunity is right before them. They still have to go about it and learn, how to engage and do it the right way for each entity, but they're not behind, and precisely because of what you say, that the consumer, for the most part, isn't there yet.
Well, and you know what else about that is I've been noticing the meme that's been going on Twitter recently about everybody's a media.
By the way, is a thread conversation thread.
Really?
Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you. yeah. Well, so at any rate, and it's all about how we're all media companies. That we're all in the business, even as individuals in doing media. Well, I listened to a talk that Matt Mullenweg, the guy that founded WordPress, delivered almost 2 years ago, where he positioned WordPress as a media publishing company that we had to start to think about ourselves in that vein. And then when I did that interview with Dries Buytaert, the guy that founded Drupal last year, 45-minute Skype call with the guy on behalf of a client, he brought that up too, and they've been talking about it at DrupalCon and so on.
And both used Motrin Moms as an example, I bet.
No, no, they did not actually, Phil. But anyway, but the point is that so they're talking about it, and yet neither of those platforms are truly there yet. And so you think they're the leaders and they're the thought leaders, and they're not quite there yet. And we're all trying to kind of catch up, be curators, and do better. So the same sort of thing is normal humans aren't quite there yet.
Exactly.
Do you think that the business-to-business side is further ahead than business-to-consumer
in social media?
I don't know if I could answer that really well, because I my perspective, I think maybe it is, because it's more of a traditional business relationship. Mm-hmm. So the fluff of trying to listen like you do on the consumer side, it doesn't really need to take place as much. I mean, a business has a need, a partner has a need, they're going to communicate that. Now, I can't take that format, I need to do, you know, extranet this way. So they kind of have much more open and frank conversations or negotiations on things. And honestly, I haven't really done a lot on the B2B side.
Because most of the social media breakfast themes are kind of B2C sort of centric.
Exactly. And that's, I guess that's where I've been, you know, everybody comes with these ideas for more of the B2C case studies and examples. So I've been running with that on the social media breakfast stuff.
I think if you were to gauge that by the communications evolution session that I went to, which has this great title of communication evolution, you know, within the business, within the enterprise or the business work environment, I was really looking forward to that. It basically turned out to be, have you tried teleconferencing? I think it's a relative state. Are they ahead of the curve? Are they ahead of the listeners of the Minivate podcast? No, probably not. But are they ahead of somebody else in the same business? Yeah, there's probably a good chance they're a little bit ahead on the B2B side as opposed to the B2C. But again, it's a relative term.
But you know, what's interesting too about the stuff that's happening is that there are people that are given thought leaders about certain areas that are coming around. So Doug Kay, I don't know if you know who Doug Kay is, started the Conversations Network, IT Conversations, all these. He's an audio guru and has that little tool Levelator, all this stuff. So Doug Kay and another guy that was doing the Podcast Academy came out with this slide deck, audio slide deck, 6, 7, 8 months ago, finally sanctioning Skype as a way to podcast record rather than use ISDN lines or this $150 Telos box that would digitize stuff and all. And they did it because they figured out the process, and then they were communicating that to podcasters to say, guess what? You really can use Skype, and it is as good, if not better, than using some of these dedicated digital boxes. Well, that was huge for this guy to come out. And now I've been reading about public radio stations that are using Skype. And then, of course, our friend Oprah had her big Skype.
Oprah. Hey, yeah. It works for Oprah.
If it works for Oprah, it's good enough for Minivate. But that's the same thing, too, is that's why I love, you know, watching Scott Monty from Ford do his thing, because he's sharp, he's professional, he's got a big deal, social media gig, and he's constantly talking benefit, 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 benefit. And this is what it means. So
I mean, he really does understand multiple angles of social media and what it means to the business, what it means to the consumer, how to engage them. So that's the real challenge for anybody who's trying to help businesses understand and engage on it is, you know, try and dig in and find that business value.
Yep. Well, we usually do our recording on Saturday, so this is Thursday, so we would usually be talking about social media breakfast on Friday. So, Rick, how was social media breakfast?
It was fantastic. We had a great turnout. Yeah. I ran out of coffee 3 times.
And the bacon pellets that were shooting out of that Gatling gun were awesome. That was a great.
So now I got to come up with that.
Dang you, cutting edge early adopters.
I mean, that was a great idea.
That's coming up on Friday, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure. What else is coming up? What do we got coming up next week?
I hope there aren't any events. I'm so evented out. I need a week off.
Well, you know, I'd look at my iPhone, but we're recording.
Our tickets went up.
Yeah, mini bar.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's not next week.
So you should probably get them.
It's in May.
Yeah, it's in May.
Yeah, but there were 400 slots, and there were already maybe 75 gone almost immediately. So
yeah, I think my wife checked earlier because I bought one of the early ones, but I think there was like 115 left or something, like noonish. Or so
today?
Today.
Wow.
Maybe I'm wrong.
By the time you hear this podcast, it may be too late.
Well, they probably still have the ones that pay tickets, $10
or $20. You can get into that level.
The sponsor one, yeah.
What else? Where is that being held?
Best Buy.
Is it Best Buy again?
Yeah, Best Buy. Yeah, that should be good.
TED. You said TED's.
Yeah, TED is sold out as far as their main tickets, but TED XTC or TED Times TC or TED whatever.
Yeah,
oh, that's wrong.
That is, I know, TED XTC. Okay.
Wow. Wow. They think that was
Steve's porn name is really what that is. So.
What?
You always have to go there.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Right. Well, Ted XTC, that sounds like somebody's porn name.
But yeah, I can't think of anything. I can't think of any other events next week specifically.
Well, I know next Friday there's the Minnesota Recruiters event.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But, that was next.
Yeah. Is hosting that.
Isn't there a startup meetup tomorrow, too, of some sort?
Well, there might be.
Yeah, I think there's a...
Oh, wow. So Rick is showing me the mini bar sign up. Yes. And it is 3:41 p.m. on Thursday, the 22nd. There's 36 community supporter tickets left for $20. Bucks, 11 tickets for the $10 level, and then 87 tickets for the general mini bar on conference.
Yeah, when I
so it's going it's going morning, quick.
There were like 216 tickets available for the general. So
yeah.
They're going quick. Yep.
Well, that's a good thing.
I want to encourage everybody that's buying or getting their tickets for a mini bar, go. Don't just buy the ticket, take up the space, and not show.
Have they published the schedule yet of sessions?
No.
No, I don't think they have because people have to sign up for the unconference session. And
I know there's been the call.
I'm wondering how it's going to be. I mean, the last couple times it's been sort of the same sort of thing, you know? There hasn't been a lot of
discussion about social media. There will be discussion.
Rick Mon will be in.
There will be social about mobile.
Yeah, social and mobile.
I'm guessing there will be an iPad element of some kind.
iPad, what's that?
That's a new thing.
Oh, iPad, yeah.
So there'll probably be something to do with all the pissed off iPhone developers now developing.
Yeah, there'll be a discussion.
On Android.
By Dan Grigsby.
There'll be a discussion of the venture and startup environment here.
And what's wrong with Minnesota? They do that every time.
Yeah. Well, if they don't have that, then when we do Minivate Bar, then we can have all of us. Right?
That's right. That's right. We can do whatever we want. Well, you know, I have to mention that the one session that I sat in today on video gaming really, really interesting. So there's a fellow that was a senior VP for the entertainment. It's like the Consumer Electronics Show for gaming. Funny guy, just a wonderful presentation, but also did an overview of the business. So not only is it bigger than the movie business, but also it's going to hit $68 billion in revenue by 2012 is the expectation. Then there was a woman from Navarre, the distribution company that does music and so forth. She talked about Navarre and what they're doing in gaming. And then the third guy was a guy I didn't recognize. Turns out it was Peter Tamty, who was the guy that sold his company to Apple, and he was the VP or senior VP of gaming for a short time, working for Steve Jobs, and then left to come back to Minnesota, started Destineer, who, it turns out, my old fraternity brother, Paul Rindy, is the CEO of the company. MacSoft, you know, they do all these different games. Hmm. They're up in Plymouth. He talked about gaming and what was happening and how huge it is, but also that they're starting this platform for digital distribution of games because the big shift is, just like the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Android, whatever, everybody's doing an App Store, that remember when Jobs came out and talked about gaming and how people even give away free games and then they'll sell levels?
Sure.
Well, that's what their plan is with this digital distribution. And in fact, they have one game that he talked about that they're going to ship this year that is going to be $19.99. And then you'll be able to buy additional levels and additional aspects. So instead of spending $60 on the game right out of the chute, spend $20, you get the game. And you can start playing.
Also, isn't there in-game commerce? Isn't that coming too? Isn't that a big. No, seriously.
And in-game ads. In fact, I asked my son about that because there's. And a bunch of games that he has, you know, you see billboards and you walk by and there's a TV in the room. Yeah. And I asked him specifically because he's a huge gamer. He's gone to ID Tech Camp about gaming development and 3 years in a row. He talked about that. And I asked him, how would you feel if you were going by and there was a big billboard there, or maybe there was a Coke machine, or maybe there was a video playing on the TV? He said, well, I don't care. I just would go buy it. I'm more interested in the game. And I said, but you'd notice it, right? He goes, yeah, but so what? I notice it when I walk down the street. And it was a very different attitude than I expected. You know, because you know how we all are when you see ads pop up or ads on your phone or you know, that kind of thing. So, but that was really a unexpectedly interesting session.
Well, what they can do, though, is they can really target that to demographic because they know so much about you.
Right.
So they can target exactly the TV or the car or whatever inside those games. So
they know your interest.
Yep.
Just like Facebook.
Yep.
Yep. Same thing. That's why TiVo is probably still around, is because of all that metadata about the watcher, you know, the people watching it. And they were able to sell advertising on top of that.
Well, and the fellow that was the SVP of the entertainment group, that they do the E3 conference, you know, the gaming conference. He said, to tie this back into Minnesota, what Minnesota needs to do, and this gets into the whole policy side, is the gaming industry employs 80,000 people in the U.S. He said, this is a big deal, and this is a big, huge direction. So he said, like the Minnesota Film Board, there needs to be a way to create tax incentives for gaming companies to locate here and for developers to have engineering facilities here.
I think Texas must have done that because there's a ton of games.
He brought that up. He brought that up. That the governor.
That's kind of the home state of gaming.
Yep.
Say, I see Digital River sponsored that session, and the moderators from Digital River. So they obviously have a play in this too.
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of being able to digitally distribute games, because
they're going to run the app stores essentially.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they already are today,
I mean,
and they have been.
For a lot of game firms now.
And for delivering software.
Software, you know.
So it would not be a stretch for them.
Is gaming a kind of a new focus for them, though, did you gather, or didn't they really say?
I missed part of his opening remarks, but also I didn't really hear him talk about that specifically.
And Joel Ronning's speaking right now. We'd probably know that if we were in that session.
Probably.
But we skipped that.
Because we wanted to be with Rick Mon.
Yeah. Rick's a bigger draw.
He's the man.
Well, I want to think
because Rick has unbelievably white shoes on.
Unbelievably white.
They are gorgeous.
You want to hear my white shoes story? I show.
You're wearing black shoes. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you. Say, wow, that's some story. They're black.
Dragging myself in here from getting home so late last night. I go to get a cup of coffee. I go over there to get my the decaf thing, and there's two things of half and half in front of the decaf thing. Somebody left the top unscrewed, and my freaking stupid bag catches the half and half, goes down on my feet. I'm standing there with white shoes at 10 in the morning, and it's like, okay, is this how my day is going to go?
Walking around in squishy cream-filled shoes.
Oh, man.
That's not a way to go through life.
I could have looked like, the summer guy with my white shoes on. I wiped it off. Somehow I survived. So anyway, long day.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was interesting, because I asked this question at the end, is similar to how Jobs had talked about buying different levels in a game, and that's kind of what they were alluding to as well, is I thought, how great it would be to tie it into Mike Sweeney, the chairman of Star Tribune, is he talked about subscriptions for the newspaper and about moving to a subscription model and how there's no way I'm going to give him $20 a month, even though he didn't bring up that price point. And I'm not going to do that with 10 other news applications I have, but I would do micropayments. Mm-hmm. And I think about that from our standpoint. We deliver these ebooks. I would love nothing better than to say, you can buy this for, $75 if you want to buy the other premium.
You can
premium
buy the
thing.
Odd pages for $75 and then
right.
pay $300 for the even page.
Exactly.
That's interesting because I'm sorry, go ahead. But, I've been writing a little bit for personal branding magazine the last couple of years, and this really was tried to raise money for American Cancer Society. What's kind of interesting is how Dan Schwabel did that. He did that, and he takes three or four of the the top stories, but a couple of stories out there, and he gives away a sample one. So it's kind of, there's a lot of precedent out there, a lot of ways to do that, whether it's just the first quarter of the book or whatever. kind of go down that road.
I heard a new term for offering that stuff free today. The freemium model. Have you heard about that?
Freemium.
Yeah.
Does that make it even better than free?
It does.
Well, one interesting thing about this whole Star Tribune conversation is that even though it seemed like he gets it, I'm not sure that he understands the way that news will be consumed. Mm. The Star Tribune app of the future needs to be something that's hyper-local. That I can't get with the AP and the Reuters apps right now, which are getting all the wire stories. So it's not a mixture of wire stories that are relevant to the local. It's local stuff, basically, right? And it's making that a rich experience, which he did talk about. And so
I'm also interested to see, and I didn't have a chance to ask him the question near the end of the session, but he was talking about aggregating other content from other sources, including like the Daily Planet or MinnPost or whatever, and running that through the Star Tribune. I didn't ask him, but it didn't sound like there was plans to necessarily compensate those people for that material, which is going to be interesting because, you know, most of those people will post on the Creative Commons, and rightfully, if the Strib really could take it, and
as long as there's attribution,
yep, exactly.
That's going to be tough for me to swallow too. I'd just as soon get it directly from those sources rather than having it aggregated for me from somewhere else.
So this, you know, you just bringing that up, you demonstrate how dynamic social media is. You know, we become accepting of, you know, the Creative Commons licensing, that we want to share stuff, and now the idea of a for-profit entity consuming that information, repurposing it to their readership.
Maybe we're uncomfortable. Jealous. We're just jealous. Yes. Yeah, we want to be able to do that.
You're right. It's technically it's not wrong if we follow the letter of the agreement through Creative Commons. It's another thing. You know, it's a shift in how we perceive things. I don't know if it's right or wrong either. It kind of bothers me, but at the same time.
Yeah.
You're in the right to do that.
Yeah, as long as you're attributing it.
It'll be interesting to see what the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press and other newspapers do in the next year or two. I mean, they don't have a lot of time.
But it is a completely different model than what they're used to.
Yeah.
I was talking to John Friend, who is with Nabit, and we were talking about the broadcast medium. And it's that concept of, you know, you've got to understand, this is you've got to look at a completely different model. The quote-unquote ad model, the ad platform, is just not the same anymore. And it really still comes back down to content. And I think that Sweeney posted, you know, alluded to that as well. If you don't have content, if you don't have appealing content, it doesn't matter what you charge or what you give away, nobody cares.
And the thing is that just the other day I'm driving by Cub Foods in Eden Prairie, and here's a Hollywood Video with its doors shuttered. And I remember driving up in front of the Blockbuster over in Eden Prairie and saying to my son, just so you know, at some point in the next few years, this is going to be gone. They're going to shut the Blockbuster in Eden Prairie. And my point is that do we need two daily newspapers in the Twin Cities?
No.
Do we need four television stations?
No. I mean, I think we need 50 daily newspapers in the Twin Cities.
We need
them
networks.
For each community. We need one in Eden Prairie. We need one in Lakeville.
That's the blog network thing we talked about.
We got to support those paper plants up in northern Minnesota. Yeah, baby.
No, but you know what though?
He means
when he talked
paper is not about paper.
When Sweeney talked about journalism, I don't really care about journalism. What I care about is investigative journalism. So you know, if Woodward and Bernstein hadn't have been around, Nixon would never. Watergate wouldn't have happened.
We can come up with a way to fund those,
I know.
We can compensate those people for doing it. They can't do it. They just can't take the time. I would love to go out and bust, you know, the man for something, but I don't have time to do that.
That's the point. Is that there's this push pull on? They need to make money so that they can afford to fund this stuff. And we need to pay in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to figure out the model. Anyway, we're not going to figure that out here. Maybe at Social Media Breakfast tomorrow.
Social Media Breakfast tomorrow.
That's right.
So we've got 16 hours?
Yeah.
That's right.
Then we can go right from that to world peace.
Another even.
World peace.
Y'all could come to my house and help me cut the lawn and put on Weed and Feed.
There you go.
So how's
there's
that?
The deal.
See, I got to read you a tweet I just saw show up on the MHTA10 hashtag from 4 minutes ago. At a tech conference, and we're supposed to write our questions for the panel on cards and send them forward?
I think,
really?
I remember that tweet from last year. It's the same one.
And the hashtag is no tech.
So you're saying if I wanted to start getting feedback from people for social media breakfast, I should have iPads out at every time?
Yeah, would you?
Ooh,
would you?
Good one. Well, good one.
Maybe just smartphones.
Well, my sponsors are cringing.
Yeah, right.
Well, this has been great, guys.
Thank you very much, guys.
Carving out the time. And Rick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's good seeing you. Good luck on the endeavor.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no
good
kidding.
Luck. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Over and out. Cue the music.
Yay!